بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 12th of June in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 83rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I'm on number 5, i.e. where his blessed name is mentioned amongst other august family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last thing I mentioned was Abu Dharr radiyallahu mentioning that their example is like Ahl al-Bayt, i.e. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam's ark. Those who board upon it are safe, those who keep away will perish. And similarly, in another report, in Tirmidhi is Hassan, Mishkat, volume 4, number 162, in the chapter on the people of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's household, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my confidence to whom I turn are Ahlu Bayti, and my close friends are the Ansar. So forgive those of them who do wrong, and accept the excuses of those of them who do good. SubhanAllah. So here the Prophet mentioned two groups of people. He goes, those who are my confidants, i.e. my intimates, they are my family, Ahlul Bayt. And my intimate friends are the Ansar. Then he said, forgive those who do wrong, and accept the excuses of those who do good. So now the Ahlul Bayt, as mentioned, are extensive. Specifically with regards to Ali radiallahu anhu's household, they are the very core of this household. The very, core of the blessed Ahlul Bayt. So the Prophet himself singled them out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For instance, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu himself said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to Fatima radiallahu anhu, Inni wa iyaka وَحَذَيْنِ وَحَذَا الرَّاقِدَ فِي مَكَانٍ وَاحِدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Verily myself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yourself, these two, i.e. your sons, and this sleeping one, will be together at one station on the day of resurrection. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So where is it recorded? In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 1-101, Ahmad in his Fada'il al-Sahaba, number 1183 or 2-692. Bazar in his Musnad 3-29-30. Asadul Ghaba 7-220. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 9-169-170. He states, his chain is reliable except for Qais ibn al-Rabi, rahmatullahi alayh, over whom there is some controversy. So with regards to how authentic this hadith is, it's an authentic report. But there's one person in the chain. His name is Qais ibn al-Rabi, and the scholars have differed about him. So those scholars who accepted him, they say this is an authentic report. Those scholars who say he's weak, they say this is a weak report. So whatever the case, it's bordering more towards an authentic report. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said to Fatima, his daughter, myself, yourself, that's Fatima, these two, Hassan and Hussein, and this sleeping one, because Ali was asleep, will be together at one station on the day of judgment. وَهَذَا الرَّاقِدَ فِي مَقَانٍ وَاحِدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ So what did the Prophet say? That the most intimate of the Ahlul Bayt, they will have one maqan. Maqan means station. They'll be together, because we'll all be together on the day of judgment. So who are those who will be together with Rasulullah? His family, his core from the family. His daughter, his son-in-law, and his two sons. And what's touching is, Ali was asleep. So now if you look at the report, what's strange is who narrates the report? Ali. So a person could say, well, isn't that a contradiction? He was asleep. So the response is, Fatima told him. So Ali himself then narrated this to us. This maqan or this station on the day of judgment is described in another report. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 9-174. Hafiz Zurqani in his Sharh al-Muwatta 4-443. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani in his Lisan al-Mizan 2-94. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna wa aliyan wa fatimatu wal hasan wal husayn yawm al qiyamati fi qubbatin taht al arsh. Myself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, on the day of judgment will be in a dome under the arsh. Will be in a dome under the arsh, i.e. on the day of judgment. So let's look at this. This adds a detail. Previous report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we'll be together in one maqan. So what does that mean? What's this maqan? We even use that word in Urdu, maqan, you know, a place where people stay. Here the Prophet explained it, qubbatin taht al arsh, a dome under the arsh. A dome. So it's a honored place on the day of judgment where these exalted souls will be, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his immediate family members. The same would also be true in paradise. In Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Dimishq 14-61, Qanz al Omal number 34167 or 12-98, Amir al Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar ibn al Khattab, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna Fatimata wa Aliyan wal Hasana wal Hussein fi haziratil Qudusi fi qubbatin bayda'a saqfuha arshur Rahman. Indeed, Fatima, Ali, Hassan and Hussein will live in a white dome in paradise. The throne of the most merciful will be its roof. Subhanallah. So what did the Prophet say? Fatima, Ali, Hassan and Hussein, they will live in a white dome in paradise. And what's the roof of that dome? The arsh. Meaning the highest levels of paradise. So combine the reports. They are honored on the day of judgment. They're together on the day of judgment in a very special maqam and also in paradise. But no, when talking about paradise, the Prophet is not mentioned. He has his own maqam. He mentions the other four, his blessed family. So do we find it strange? No, because these are the core of the Ahlul Bayt. They deserve the greatest honors. So subhanallah, we beg Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be amongst the true devotees of this most august and venerable household. Ameen. So everybody says they love this household. The Rawafid say it, and we say it. But where's the one who's genuinely, truly showing their love? They don't lie about them. They mention their virtues, their maqan, and they don't, you know, elevate them above their station. Astaghfirullah. So now, we can move to number six. Entitled with his rank, their father is better than them. Their father is better than them. With regards to the awesome rank of Sayyidina Ali himself, radiyallahu, this can be gauged from the following awesome statement of our beloved messenger. And he is an awesome statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Hasanu wal-Husaynu Sayyida shababi ahlil jannah wa abuhuma khayran minhuma. Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma are the leaders of the youths of paradise. And indeed their father is better than them. Subhanallah. Their father is better than them. Where is this recorded? In Ibn Majah, number 118, is Hassan. Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-167, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Ibn Asakir, and many others. So here, two parts to the hadith. The first part, Hassan and Hussein are the leaders of the Shabab, the youths of paradise. That means they will take all the youths into paradise. They'll have the standard. But then what did the Prophet say? Wa abuhuma khayran minhuma. Their father's better than them. So how can you be better than the flesh and blood of Rasulullah? These are his grandsons. They are the leaders who enter the youths into paradise. And that's another miracle because they both died before old age. If they lived unto old age, then what does that hadith mean? The Prophet was indicating they won't get to old age, my grandsons. They will enter paradise, taking the youths with them. But their father is better. But there's another report which adds details, which gives it context. In Tabarani, Qanz al-Oman, volume 7, page 107. Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 182. He comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 334 of the New English Translation. Salman al-Farsi, radiyallahu anhu, he relates. It was midday when we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ayman, radiyallahu anhu, she arrived and she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan and Hussein are missing. Radiyallahu anhu. So stop in the report. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, he's sitting with the companions. It's midday. So before Zuhr. And who's Ayman? His mother, his second mother. She goes, Hassan and Hussein are missing. Rasulullah immediately said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the companions, arise and search for my sons. Every person went in the direction he was facing. And I, Salman, accompanied Rasulullah. So the image you get is they all went in every different direction to look for Hassan and Hussein. Salman goes, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept searching until he reached the foot of a mountain when he suddenly saw the two boys clinging to each other. In front of them was a snake standing on its tail with flames flashing from its mouth. So stop in the report. So who gets to find them? The grandfather. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look what's happening. Hassan and Hussein are hugging each other, the children. And there's a snake. So there's nothing strange about that. But what's strange is on its tail and it's from its mouth, flames are coming out. That's not a snake, there's something else. What is this? The scholars say, maybe. Allah the Almighty had sent it to ensure that the boys did not go further. For no snake, as far as we know, has flames flashing from his mouth. So maybe Allah sent it to stop them from going further. The hadith continues. As Rasulullah darted towards the snake, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it turned to look at him and it quickly slid away into a hole. Now what's interesting? The Sahaba weren't afraid of snakes. There's a hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was teaching. And all of a sudden he leaps up and he strikes a snake. And then he says, I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever kills it with the first strike, he gets such a reward. Whoever kills it with the second strike, he gets less reward. Now, look at the weakness of the Muslims. Forget about a snake, even a mouse. They jump in on the settee. So here the Prophet turns to it, it hides. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to the boys and as he separated them, he wiped their faces. And he said, may my parents be sacrificed for you. How honorable you two are in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning possibly, look how Allah is looking after you. He sent a creation that nobody's ever seen to stop you. Because how honorable, he wiped their faces. He then carried one of them on his right shoulder and the other on his left shoulder. That means they were very young. So Salman radiallahu anhu said, glad tidings to both of you. For what an excellent mount you are riding. To this he replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what excellent riders they are. But their father is even better than them. But their father is even better than them. There's the context. So now, can we understand these reports? No, you have to go through commentary. Allahu Akbar. One can only truly appreciate this prophetic command or statement when one becomes aware of the eminent ranks of the illustrious grandsons of our beloved messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can only understand what the Prophet meant when you, what's the rank of Imam Hassan? And being honest, most of us haven't got a clue because his grandson. I didn't ask you about that. What's his rank? Right? So if you know his rank, and you go, what did the Prophet say? Oh, you appreciate it. What's the rank of Hussein? Radiallahu anhu. He's greater. Now this is very interesting. The grandsons are the flesh and blood of Rasulullah. Nobody denies that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with the greatest of respect and reverence, Sayyidina Ali was not. Radiallahu anhu. But, subhanallah, despite this, our beloved messenger still uttered these words. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. What an immense status for Sayyidina Ali. So think about this. Could Hassan and Hussein have come into existence without Rasulullah? No, because they're the grandsons. Could Ali have come into existence? Yes, because he's not the flesh and blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, who is the very DNA of Rasulullah? The grandsons, flesh and blood. What did the Prophet still say? Ali's greater. It was for this reason that Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhu, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fulfill the rights of his family and relatives. However, he would not give them preference over those who were more virtuous. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak with a sahih chain of transmission. So what did Ibn Abbas say? He fulfilled the rights of his family, the best of creation. But he would not give preference over those who were more virtuous. So Ibn Abbas was saying, just because they're the flesh and blood of the Prophet doesn't mean they're the greatest. If anybody was given more honor by Allah Ta'ala, he would clearly highlight that. Here's an example. You could argue Hassan and Hussein are the flesh and blood of Ali, of course. We're not denying that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the flesh and blood of Rasulullah. Hassan and Hussein are the flesh and blood of Rasulullah. Ali is not, radiyallahu. But despite that, Ali is greater than Hassan and Hussein. Because Rasulullah said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can they be greater? Think about that. How can Ali be greater? It's because of his virtue, his station, his maqam. Allah Ta'ala chose him above his children. Thus, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was educating us to the important fact. We must give preference to what Allah Ta'ala loves more than what we love ourselves. Think about that. Wasn't Rasulullah teaching you that here? If somebody goes, who do you love more? His grandsons or his son-in-law and his cousin? He goes, look, brother, I'm answering you. He goes, no, I'm just asking. Naturally, who would you love more? You love your grandsons. So why did the Prophet love Ali more? Because Allah Ta'ala chose him. So he's teaching us. On the same team, there's another report. In Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 59,151. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhum, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon Ali and Fatima and they were laughing. So he entered and they were, you know, in a good mood, they were both laughing. On seeing the Holy Prophet, they stopped laughing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you were just laughing, so why did you stop upon seeing me? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Fatima spoke first, radiyallahu anha. I ransom you as my father with my life. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this, I, my illustrious husband, he just said to me, I am dearer to Rasulullah than you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I responded, never. I am dearer to Rasulullah than you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On this, Rasulullah smiled. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, oh my dear daughter, you undoubtedly have and you deserve the tender-heartedness required from one's child. But I cherish Ali more than you. Look at this amazing statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh dear daughter, you undoubtedly deserve the tender-heartedness required from one's child. You're my daughter. But I cherish Ali more than you. Meaning, if it comes to just normal law, of course, you're my daughter. Nobody can match you. But I have to give preference. Allah Ta'ala has chosen your husband. I cherish him more. So now, why is this important? Why are these reports important? You turn to the Imams. Not the Rawafid ones, right? Who also are our Imams. But Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad. Three of the Imams, they say Abu Bakr's rank is greater than Fatima's. Think about that. So Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad rahimahumullah, because the greatest person after Rasulullah, the holy prophets and messengers, is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu. Imam Malik is the only one who differs. Because I will never equate anybody to the flesh and blood of Rasulullah. Because the greatest person after Rasulullah is his daughter. Because flesh and blood. So we respect that. But why have three of the Imams differed? Somebody goes, look, end of the day, Fatima's the flesh and blood. You can't just brush that to one side. So our response is, despite the fact she was from the very flesh and blood of Rasulullah, if Sayyidina Ali's rank was greater than his sons and his wife, then what say of the awesome Siddiqui Akbar? And think about that. That's why, we don't know how to explain things. Imagine that a wafid comes to you and he goes, your people are strange. Because why are we strange? Because Rasulullah's flesh and blood, his daughter, you put somebody over her. And they'll keep stressing that blood. Look, what's wrong with you? And the sunnah, you go, he's got a point on it. And then he goes, Imam Malik, he believes that as well. Next minute you're thinking, why did they have anything wrong with me? I don't even know my own. That's the problem, you don't know left from right. So our response is, of course, she's the leader of the women of paradise. But then he says, no, we didn't say that. You preferred a non-family member over flesh and blood. I want you to prove to me through text why you come to that decision. Now you've got the text. This is why these hadiths are here. So you say, right, who's greater than Hassan and Hussein? Ali. The Prophet said it. Are you happy with that? Watch him have a little squirm. Okay, no problem. Then he said, out of Ali and Fatima, he said, Ali, I cherish more than you. Therefore, it's not a question of flesh and blood. If it was, Fatima's number one, Hassan's number two, Hussein's number three. Then you get the cousins and so on and so forth. But Abu Bakr's number one, Umar's number two. Why? Because the Prophet himself gave preference. If Allah Ta'ala chose somebody, he never gets in the way of that. Because I will always prefer what Allah Ta'ala prefers. And go back to the hadith I mentioned a few nights prior. When Abbas and Ali came, because who's more beloved, Ya Rasulullah, to you? He goes, Osama. How is Osama related to the Prophet? One's his uncle, one's his son-in-law, his cousin. Osama's his freed slave son. Because Allah Ta'ala honored him. And this is why the majority of the Ahlul Sunnah say Abu Bakr Siddiq is the greatest. Umar is then number two of man. And then we don't know what the ranks are. Allah Ta'ala knows best. But there's textual evidence for that. It's not just emotion. Audhubillah. And just to add this, I'm going to discuss it more at length. The Rawafid, they believe that the Imams are greater than the Prophets and Messengers. So this is their belief. And I heard it today myself from one of their so-called scholars, Sheikh Mudarrasi, very eloquent, and was based in Australia. Question was posed to him, why does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, to Ibrahim, he goes, we have made you an imam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We have appointed you as an imam. And this is what he said. His own words. One of the top scholars in the English world of the Rawafid. He said, Ibrahim went through three phases. First, he was a prophet. Then when he pleased Allah Ta'ala more, Allah Ta'ala promoted him to a messenger, to a Rasul. This verse was his final promotion. He became an imam. Therefore, the imam, there's no rank higher than that. Then the questioner, he said, so the imams are greater than the prophets and messengers? He goes, yes. And then he belittled Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, Ibrahim, he was going to slaughter his son, Ismail. And then he goes, but Hussein gave all his family at Karbala. Hussein's sacrifice is greater. So the question to these fruitcakes, very simple question. What's the point of having a last prophet? So we say, look, when Rasulullah passed away, it was a devastating day. Why? Because the prophethood has finished. Nabuwat has finished. Well, it just continued. If Rasulullah passed, oh, what if we've got the Imams now? So what's the point of the last Prophet? So if you push and shove these people, they will actually, their belief is the last Prophet, you've changed the word into an Imam, is Imam Mahdi. So not kufr in their statements, belittling the messengers and prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when you're talking about Sayyidina Ali, look how the truth exposes itself. He has an incredible maqam. Rasulullah chose him above his own flesh and blood. But that still doesn't mean he's greater than the prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. Just showing his status with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Ali, to finish, if Ali is greater than Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, then what does that tell you about Uthman? Is he not greater than Fatima, Hassan and Hussein? What does that tell you about Umar? This is not to belittle the family of the Prophet. This is text. And this is why we say with all veneration and respect to all the noble family members, Abu Bakr is the greatest. Then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. And then Allah Ta'ala knows best where the greatness lies. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر